Hallelujah. Amen. No.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hold on. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Ascend Church. We are so glad you're here today. Why don't you just turn and welcome somebody? Tell them you're glad to see them today. Glad you're here. Now, I want to ask, hold on, I want to ask everybody that's at the back, we want to fill up these first three rows first, please. So if I would really appreciate it if you're sitting at the back, come and fill up these first three rows. And we want to welcome, I'm so glad that Leslie is back today, because last Sunday, in the morning, I got a text from Leslie last Sunday saying that she, I think you got food poisoning on last Saturday, and she was really sick and she was throwing up, and she said, I'm not going to be able to come to church. So if you missed it last week, I led worship last Sunday. I led worship last Sunday. I'm glad you're back today. And also, we want to welcome Monique is back with us. We're so glad about that. Monique has been in North Carolina. She was with us for years. I feel like the Lord brought her back. We're so glad you're back, Monique, leading worship with us today. Are you ready to give God some praise today? Come on, put your hands together. Lord, we come to praise you. We come to worship you. I want to encourage you to just give everything you've got today. Let's give God our best praise. Amen. He inhabits our praises.
Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord in this place, church. Let's give him some glory in this place. Come on, I want to hear a shout of praise like you mean it, like it's Saturday. I mean, Sunday night. Come on. I'm Saturday night tonight.
Was through. The sins went as impossible, it ever stopped you. Friday's disappointment, Sunday's empty too. The sins went as impossible, it ever stopped you. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Y'all hear it in this place? Come on.
And this is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Yeah, yeah. Cost of fire, stirring something new. You're not gonna run out of miracles anytime soon. Yeah.
living again, I want you to start declaring again that God is bringing new life to those dreams that you thought were dead. He thought, you thought those bones were dry and gone, but he's resurrecting something in this room, and we're going to declare it, and we're going to sing it this morning. Amen. My God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that he wants to. Just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elijah if there's anything that he can do.
Just ask the stone that was rolled.
Prophesying in this room. We're going to call those things that were dead alive. We're going to declare what God says over those. Hallelujah. And I can tell you right now, there is nothing that is too hard. There is nothing that is impossible for our God. So we're going to declare, hey, because this is what he said,
live, live.
Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Live,
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 live.
Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Live,
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 live.
Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Live,
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 live.
Dry bones over your finances, come on.
Live,
live,
live, live.
Dry bones over your marriage, come on.
Live,
live.
This one.
Come on, church.
Sing along with me.
I don't need the smoke of mirrors, cause I know there's a God who's real. I don't need the lights to fool me, cause I have seen the God who heals. I know when I ask, I receive it. You're not a God who withholds. I hear you say, just believe me. I need a Holy Ghost awakened in my soul. I need a love that glows rattling my bones. The
'cause nothing in this world remains. I need something stronger than lightning flowing inside of these veins. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a love that goes rather than my bones, still the evidence shows. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired. Wherever I go, I need a Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a Ghost. Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a Ghost. You're the fire, I can't even explain it. Like I'm bursting with heavenly language, and every time I get a taste, I know I just want more, I just want more. You're the kingdom that's been growing inside me. It's like a lion for them want to find me, and every time I get a taste, I know I just want more. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. Such a beautiful song. Goodness of God.
Here we go.
All my life you have been faithful.
Sing it out.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Friend, sometimes in my darkest hour, he's been there. How about you? He's faithful, family. He's faithful. I'm so grateful for that. And welcome to Ascend Church this morning. Welcome to those that are watching on our live stream. You're a part of this service today, and I just sense the presence of God here. And you know, family, church is about a lot of things. It's about fellowship, it's about getting to know other believers, but most of all, it's about meeting with God, and it's about receiving from God. We were praying this morning, and the word I just kept hearing was download. There's always a download that God has, because we're not just physical. We are spiritual beings, the Bible says, and there's a download from heaven that comes when you come into his presence. So just be open to receive from him this morning. Amen. And this is a time in the service where we're going to pray. If there's any needs you have, you're welcome to come out. Those that are in the building, you can come out. And our prayer team are filled with faith. And we're going to pray over you and believe God with you. Those that are watching online, we're going to pray right now. We had an amazing testimony. Ray and Tammy Wallace's daughter, Soleil. Young girl, she's 13. She got encephalitis and meningitis, which is serious. And she was 2 weeks in ICU, St. Mary's. And we weren't even allowed to go in there because of all the COVID scares. But we were able to pray for her over the phone. And praise God, she was back in church last week. So we just thank God that he is still the healer. All her tests came back negative. So thank God for that. He is the healer. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes we read the gospel. We read the gospels and the account of Jesus' life, and we're like, man, in my situation, I wish that I was there to encounter him. But do you know that you can encounter him today? Whatever it is you need. So those that are in this building, if you have a financial need, a relationship need, if it's a physical healing in your body, depression, addiction, whatever it is you're dealing with, step out of your seat and come down during this last song. We'll pray for you. But I'm going to pray right now. We're going to pray for those that are watching. Father, we just extend our hands towards this camera. I extend my hand towards this camera, and I release the anointing of God to flow into those homes. Father, those people that are needing healing right now, I speak health. Yes. I speak divine health. I command pain to go. I command joints to loosen up. I command arthritis to be loosed from them right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for freedom. For freedom. Thank you for peace that just floods their home right now. Father God, where there's been trouble and there's been fighting and there's been anger, Father, I pray your peace would just flood into those homes. I thank you for answering, healing, delivering, setting free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're going to worship one more song. And this is why we sense the presence of God, is because we are worshiping Him. It's the entrance into His presence. Amen.
Let me just say, I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come help me pray.
You do that.
If you need prayer, if you're sick in your body, let the Lord heal you today. If you have a financial need today, let Him provide for you. If you need peace in your life, He's the giver of peace. Whatever it is that you need, just slip out of wherever you may be. The people next to you will not mind. Just move on out there and come on down and let us pray. You know, the scripture says the reason we do not have the things that we need is because we do not ask God. Very often, if we would just ask Him, Jesus said, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. If your joy is not full today, I want you to know that God wants to meet every need in your life. Come on down. We're going to pray. And we're going to sing this final song. It's called Available. It's kind of our theme of the service today. That's what I'm going to be speaking about, available. Are you available to God today? Are you available for God to bless you? Are you available for God to use you? Are you available to the Lord? If you are, then sing it with us this morning. Amen.
Narrow as the road may seem, I'll follow where your spirit leads. Broken as my life may be, I will give you every peace. I hear you.
Presence of the Lord in this place. Amen. Welcome to Ascend Church. We ask you to just take a moment and greet somebody around you. Tell them how good they look today, and you may be seated. Sunday morning. And the good news is next week we get to fall back, right? Do we gain an hour? Sounds like heaven. I love the sound of it. Welcome to church this morning. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad you're joining us. Facebook Live, on our app, on YouTube, however you're watching, welcome to the service. And to everyone present, we're so glad that you made it into the house of God today. We have an expectation when we come to God. Amen. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We love having visitors in our church, and we just like to welcome you. We don't embarrass you in any way. We're just going to hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind waving your hand that we could welcome you? Come on, family. Come on, let's make him feel welcome. Anyone else? Thank you. Bill, we're so glad you're here. Our ushers would have given you a gift bag, and that is got a couple of things in it, but one being a guest card. We ask you just for a moment, fill that out for us. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. If you drop that in, it just gives the pastor an opportunity to give you a call. So thank you for doing that. Wonderful. We're looking at some cameramen up here. That's a good... You look good, Mark. Nicholas, good to see you there. I just want to remind you of the four different platforms that there are to watch us. The first one being YouTube. It's Ascend Church Jupiter. You can watch on our website, ascendchurch.us. You can watch on our mobile app. If you haven't downloaded it, ask one of us afterwards. We'll get that downloaded. Or on Facebook Live. And if you are on Facebook Live and you'd like to share that today, go ahead and do it. It extends our reach. You know, that's the way everything's gone. With everything having been virtual, there's a lot more people watching online than are actually in the building. And so go ahead and share it. You never know that person in your life that you haven't been able to reach. Maybe the word will reach them. So go ahead and share that. We appreciate it. I just want to remind you of the four purposes of our church. The first one is that you would know God. Everything we do is based on these four purposes. We want you to know God better than you know Him right now. You say, I know Him. Well, we're always growing in our knowledge of Him, right? And not just knowing Him, knowing His character, knowing His voice, knowing His leading. Second of all, we want you to find freedom in every area of your life. There's some testimonies in this room of how God has set them free from all kinds of things. So we're so thankful for that. Thirdly, to discover your purpose in life. And lastly, to make a difference with your life. Amen. And we've got a couple of things that we're going to do this morning.
Yes. Well, first, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. You're supposed to say, it's good to see you too. Now, I just want to say to the band, what a great job you did today. What a great job. Give them a big round. You sounded so good. Leslie and Monique, you sounded great today. These musicians, we got world-class musicians right here. If you didn't know that, this is the best band in all of South Florida.
You know, you know what I love? I was thinking about it today. Abel's been on that guitar. We just like, with between your parents and us, you had no chance. We just like, we need a guitarist. He was 14. We're like, get on the stage, Abel. And look how he does. Phenomenal. So we're so thankful for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we want to, I'm going to ask Dan and Rachel to come up here on stage with me.
The Enchaltagese.
What was that?
Mr. and Mrs. Enchaltagese.
I think he's worked for us for 7 years and I'm still trying to pronounce that. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning we want to pray with Dan and with Rachel. Dan and Rachel is actually their last Sunday with us. The Lord has opened a door of opportunity for them, and they feel, and the Lord is guiding them to take this. And so Dan and Rachel have been with us many years.
Such a blessing.
And have 8 years.
And Rachel ran our children's ministry for 6 years, and she's trained up a lot of our teachers, and she's got a whole lot of the systems going. That so you parents can thank Rachel for all that she's done for your children and ours, right?
And Dan has been on staff with us. Is it?
It's over 8 years.
It's over eight years. So and Dan has just been so faithful and such a hard worker. And he's not an easy man to replace.
Not easy. But so, you know what I wanted to say about Dan? That when I think about Dan, I think about how adaptable he's been in every... You know, we've had some changes in this last couple of years. And he went from being one of a whole lot of staff to on his own, to in a temporary office facility, to moving everything to this building. Right. And that's how he always looks. That's how he always looks. So we're so thankful. So thankful for both of you and your family.
So we want to pray. Won't you stretch your hand forward? Lord, we thank you for Dan, for Rachel, for this family. And we pray Lord, your blessing upon them. We send them out with your blessing. We trust you, Lord, to provide for them, to guide them, to use them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we are thankful for bringing them to us. We're thankful for their faithfulness. And Lord, we just thank you right now that you're opening doors for them that no one can close. And we thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon them. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. And God bless you guys. God bless you guys. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I want to say thank you to all of our volunteers, all of our servant leaders who are serving in God's house today. We are a team, and we couldn't do it without you. We're thankful to all of our teachers in the children's church today. In fact, in children's church, they are having a dress-up day today. And I should have worn my Spider-Man outfit today. I've got a full-on Spider-Man outfit that I bought because of my grandchildren. My grandsons all love Spider-Man. They got a Spider-Man outfit, so I got a full-on Spider-Man outfit. But I didn't wear it today. Anyway, but and we're so thankful to our media department. I want you to know that we met with them on Wednesday. We have just over 20 people involved in media, and we're stepping up to a whole new level because starting on Sunday, November 15th, we are going to be on Fox 29 on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. every Sunday. And so that's like 3 or 4 weeks' time. And we're excited about it. And the reason I'm excited about it is because I'm trusting that God is going to use the television program to reach a lot more people. And I was talking to, we went with Aaron and wave at me, Aaron and Angie. We had dinner at their house on Thursday. And they've been coming to the church about a month now. And they were invited by Tom, who's sitting next to Aaron. Tom invited them. And they came before he did. But he's here today for the first time. He saw me on television 10 years ago. He started watching 10 years ago. And isn't it amazing? Here he is today sitting here. And you'd be amazed. How many people came to this church because you saw me on television? Wave your hand at me. Wave your hand high. Yeah, Dolores, Mary Bell, Carol, Natalie, you did? There's a lot of people came because they saw us on television. And you know, Pam, where did Pam? Pam came to me during prayer. And Pam often, God uses her. She has visions. She sees angels. It's happened to you a number of times. And she said today in the service, she saw an angel of acceleration in this building today. And she said to me, I believe, Pastor Steve, we're stepping into a season of acceleration. And I've received that. I believe that too. I sense it. I sense acceleration, growth in the air. How about you? So thank you. I just want to say thank you, our servant leaders, our media, our kids' church, our ushers, our greeters, everybody who serves. We appreciate you so much. Amen. Well, are you ready for God's word today? Say, I am ready. I'm ready too. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, that you're always available to us. And I pray, Lord, today that we will be stirred in our heart and that we will be available to you. Lord, thank you for helping me and using me today. I acknowledge I'm trusting you, Lord, not myself. I'm trusting you to speak through me, anoint me, Lord, and I give you all the glory and all the praise for everything said and done in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. I'm so glad that you are watching this today. I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter, Florida, and I want to invite you, if you live anywhere near Jupiter, we'd love to have you come visit our church. I promise you, we will make you feel so welcome. This is such a friendly group of people here. Your kids will have a blast in our kids' church, so we hope to see you soon. Amen? Now listen, today I want to speak about available. Say available. We sang the song today. It's by Elevation. The song is called Available. And the lyrics are, narrow as the road may seem, I'll follow where your spirit leads. Broken as my life may be, I will give you every piece. I hear you call. I am available. I say, yes, Lord, I am available. Here I am. Here I am. You can have it all. You can have it all. I am available. That's what I want to speak about today, is available. I want you to ask your neighbor, not in a creepy kind of way, just say, are you available?
Are you available?
The first thing I want you to know is that God is always available to help you. God is always available to help me. He's always available. Psalm 16 verse 8 tells us, because you are close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken, for I experience your wraparound presence every moment. You are always available. Psalm 46 verse 1 tells us, God, you're such a safe and powerful place to find refuge. You're a proven help in time of trouble. More than enough, and always available whenever I need you. I'm so glad that the Lord is always available, 24 hours a day, whenever I need him. Isaiah 65 verse 1 says, I've made myself available to those who haven't bothered to ask. I'm here ready to be found by those who haven't bothered to look. I keep saying I'm here, I'm right here to a nation that ignored me. I've reached out day after day to a people who turn their backs on me, people who make wrong turns, who insist on doing things their own way. God says that he is available. He's made himself available to people who are not even looking for him. People who are not even reaching out to him. God is so desperate to help people. He said, I'm always available whenever we need him. You need to be confident in that. You need to know you're not bothering God. He told us to call upon him. In Jeremiah 33 verse 1, the word of God says, call to me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me and I will answer you. God's always available. He never sleeps. Psalm 121 says, I look up to the mountains and to the hills, longing for God's help. But then I realize that our true help and protection come only from the Lord, our Creator who made the heavens and the earth. He will guard and guide me. Say, he will guard and guide me. He never will let me stumble or fall. God is my keeper. He will never forget or ignore me. He will never slumber nor sleep. He's the guardian God for his people. God never sleeps. He is always available. You'll never call upon God and he says, I'm sleeping. Come back tomorrow when I wake up. No, Jehovah himself will watch over you. He's always at your side to shelter you safely in his presence. He's protecting you from all danger, both day and night. He will keep you from every form of evil or calamity as he continually watches over you. You will be guarded by God himself. You will be safe when you leave your home. Say, I will be safe when I leave my home. And safely you will return. He will protect you now and he'll protect you forevermore. Say, God protects me now and he protects me forevermore. God's always available to help us. You know what? Even when you mess up, don't run from God, run to God. You see this in the parable of the prodigal son. You know, in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son wasted his inheritance. And the Bible says that he finally came to his senses, said, I want to go back to my father's house. And the father was waiting for him. He'd gone out. The father went out every day looking for his son. Let me tell you right now, even when you mess up, don't run from God, run to God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and there we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. The Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of God to find mercy, to find grace when we need it the most. God's mercy and grace is always available. Jesus is available to everybody. The scripture says in Colossians 3 verse 11, in this new life, one's nationality or race or education or social position is unimportant. Let me say that again. In this new life, your nationality is not important. Your race is not important. Your education is not important. Your social position is not important. It says such things mean nothing. whether a person has Christ, that's what matters, and he is equally available to everybody. Christ is available to everybody, and that's what matters, isn't it? Salvation's available to everybody. The Bible says in Acts 28, verse 28, I want you to realize this salvation from God is available to the Gentiles too, and they will accept it. This salvation is available to everybody. Righteousness and a victorious life is available to everybody. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 18, in other words, just as condemnation came upon all people through one transgression, talking about Adam's sin, so through one righteous act of Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect righteousness that makes us right with God and leads us to a victorious life is now available to all. Do you know that a victorious life is available to you? Do you know that perfect righteousness and right standing with God is available to you? Do you know that right standing with God is not based upon anything that you do? It's based upon what Jesus has done for you. That's perfect righteousness. Do you know God's power is available to you? In Ephesians 1 verse 19, how tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God. If you're a believer in Jesus, there's tremendous power available to you. James 5 verse 14 says, tremendous power is made available through a good man's earnest prayer. And when you pray, power is made available. Do you know God's blessing is available to everybody? Galatians 3 verse 14, Abraham's blessing is present and available for non-Jews as well. The blessing of God is available to everybody. In fact, all of God's promises are available to you. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1 verse 3, he has by his own action given us everything that is necessary for living a truly good life. In allowing us to know the one who called us to him through his own glorious goodness, it says it is through him that God's greatest and most precious promises have become available to us. Say, all of God's promises are available to me. Do you know that there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible? Every one of them is available to you. Any promise you find in the Bible is for you. God's boundless resources are available to you. Romans 10 verse 12, and it says, and that whoever means that anyone without distinction between Jew or Greek, for all have the same Lord whose boundless resources are available to all who turn to him in faith. God, say, God's boundless resources are available to me. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are endless treasures available in Christ. Ephesians 3 verse 8, just think, though I did nothing to deserve it, and though I am the most useless Christian there is, yet I was the one chosen for this special joy of telling the Gentiles the glad news of the endless treasures available to them in Christ. The endless treasures available in Christ. Paul said, although I was the most useless Christian, God chose me to tell this message. In fact, if you read that from the Message translation, it says, this is my life work, helping people understand and respond to this message. It came as a sheer gift to me, a real surprise, God handling all the details. When it came to presenting the message to people who had no background in God's way, I was the least qualified of any of the available Christians. God saw to it that I was equipped, but you can be sure it had nothing to do with my natural abilities. He said I was the least qualified of the available Christians. You see, God uses available people. The first part of this sermon is God is available to you always. The second part is, are you available to God? Are you available to God? Ask your neighbor one more time, are you available to God? In Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, the scripture says, I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. That phrase, here I am, is one word in the Hebrew language. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, translated into English. And the word here I am is one word in Hebrew. It's the word Hineni, H-I-N-E-N-I. And this is what it means. It means, behold me, I'm ready. I'm focused on you. There is no other place I'd rather be. It's an offer of total availability, regardless of the cost or the consequence. So when I say, here I am, Lord, send me, I'm saying, Lord, I'm available, regardless of the cost and the consequence. I am ready, Lord, to be used by you. Behold me, I'm focused solely on you. Let me tell you some people who told God, here I am. Start out with Abraham in Genesis 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. God told him to sacrifice his son, Isaac, the son that he waited 24 years for. Isaac's about 20 years old at this time. Why did God ask Abraham to sacrifice his son, Isaac? It kind of seems mean. If you don't understand it, why would you ask anyone to sacrifice their son? Here's why. The reason why God had to test Abraham is because God was willing to sacrifice his only son, Jesus, in order to redeem us. You see, that's why God made a covenant with Abraham. Because a covenant is where you join your two lives together and you give everything you are to the other person. This covenant God made with Abraham allowed God to legally send his son Jesus to the earth through the lineage of Abraham. But Abraham had to be willing to sacrifice his son in order for God to send his son. That's why God tested Abraham in this way. God had no intention of Abraham sacrificing his son. He had to see that Abraham was willing. Are you with me? Genesis 22, verse 9. When they arrived at the place where God had told Abraham to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it, and then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on top of the altar, on top of the wood, and Abraham picked up the knife, and he was ready to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord. Now, whenever you see in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, it's usually talking about Jesus. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied. Here I am. Here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy. The angel said, do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. And Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. How could Abraham be willing to sacrifice his son? Well, in Hebrews 11, verse 17, it says, while God was testing him, Abraham still trusted God and his promises. So he offered up his son Isaac, and he was ready to slay him on the altar of sacrifice. Yes, even to slay Isaac, though whom God had promised to give Abraham, through whom God had promised to give a whole nation of descendants, it says he believed that if Isaac died, God would bring him back to life again. And that is just about what happened. For as far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was doomed to death, but he came back again alive. Now, Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. Here's my question. Why would Abraham believe that? Why would Abraham believe? There is no record of any dead people being raised from the dead before Abraham's time. There's no example of anyone being raised from the dead. So why would he think that? Because Galatians 3 verse 8, listen to this now, don't miss this. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. The Bible says God preached the gospel way back to Abraham beforehand. What is the gospel? The gospel is God sent his son to come to the earth to die for our sin, and God raised him from the dead. That's the gospel. The reason why Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead is because God showed him in the future that his own son Jesus would be raised from the dead. So Abraham was like, well, if you're going to raise your son from the dead, you sure can raise my son from the dead. That's why he believed it. Look what God did through Abraham's life. Because Abraham said, Lord, here I am. I am available. Yes, Lord. Look what God did through Abraham's life. The second person who told God, here I am, was Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Moses, in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and go see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. And so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And what did Moses say? Here I am. Here I am. Yes, what does that mean? I'm available. I'm ready. Behold me. I'm focused on you. No matter what the cost, no matter what the consequence, I'm available to you. God told Moses that he had heard the cries of his people who were being abused and oppressed by their slave masters, the Egyptians. And he came down. God said, I've come to rescue them. I want to lead them into the promised land, the land of milk and honey. And God was calling Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. But Moses immediately started protesting. You know, it's amazing. Many of the people that God used, they didn't think they were qualified. They didn't think that they were able. The Bible says in Exodus 3 verse 11, Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God said, I'll be with you. But Moses protested, but if I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors sent me to you, they're going to ask me, what is his name? Then what am I going to tell them? So God replied, tell them, I am who I am. That's who sent you. The I am has sent you. He's the I am. Exodus 4 verse 1, Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me? Well, listen to me. What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Throw it on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw down the staff and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. The Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. Moses reached out, grabbed it, and then it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Then the Lord said, perform this sign, and then they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you. Then the Lord said to Moses, now put your hand inside your cloak. And so Moses put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out again, his hand was as white as snow with a severe skin disease. It was leprosy. Now put your hand back into your cloak, the Lord said. So Moses put his hands back into his cloak. When he took it out again, it was as healthy as the rest of his body. The Lord said, if they don't believe you, if they're not convinced by the first miraculous sign, they'll be convinced by the second miraculous sign. If they don't believe you, I'll listen to you even after these two signs, and take some water from the Nile River, pour it on the dry ground. When you do, the water from the Nile will be turned into blood. There's three signs. How about that, Moses? But Moses pleaded with the Lord, Lord, I'm not very good with words. I'm not eloquent. I've never been. I'm not now. Even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied. My words get tangled. I'm not a good communicator. The Lord said to Moses, who made a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you what to say. But Moses pleaded, Lord, please send someone else. Can you imagine that? Can you believe that? The Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he's on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. You talk to him and put the words in his mouth, and I'll be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. And take your shepherd's staff with you and use it to perform the miraculous signs that I've shown you. Now, so many people that God chose to use, it's always amazing to me, they didn't think that they were qualified. I look at Moses and go, I can't do it, Lord. Send somebody else. One of the greatest leaders in history. How about Gideon? When God appeared to Gideon in Judges chapter 6, in verse 11 it says, Gideon the son of Joash was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Who's the angel of the Lord? Jesus. He said, look what the Lord said to Gideon. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Hey, mighty hero. Hey, superhero. Superman. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles that our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites? They were being oppressed by the Midianites. The Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I'm sending you. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. So let me get this right. My family's the weakest family in all Israel, and I'm the weakest in my family. In other words, you came to the weakest man in all of Israel, Lord, and yet you say I'm a mighty hero. The Lord said, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Gideon asked God to confirm this sign with to confirm this to him, and he put out a fleece of wool, and he asked God to cause the dew to be all around the ground on the fleece and dry on the ground, and God did it. And then he asked him to make the ground dry and the ground wet and the fleece dry, and God did it. And Gideon gathered 32,000 men to fight the Midianites, and God told him it's too many men. He didn't want them to claim the glory. He didn't want them. He wanted to know that it was God giving them the victory. So Gideon finally reduced his men down to 300, and God gave them a miraculous victory of the Midianites. But my point is God appeared to him and said, you're a mighty hero. I'm going to use you. And Gideon didn't think he could. He said, I'm the weakest in the whole nation of Israel. Sometimes sometimes we don't believe that we can do what God is telling us. And sometimes it's other people who don't believe in God's calling on our life. David experienced this often. When King Saul died, God sent the prophet Samuel to Bethlehem to find a man named Jesse and anoint one of his sons to be the next king. And when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and he thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Samuel looked at Eliab. He was tall. He was good looking. That's got to be the one. The Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by the appearance or by the height, for I've rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but God judges on the heart. Jesse took his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel, but Samuel said, this is not the one the Lord has chosen. And next, Jesse summoned Shemaiah, but Samuel said, neither is this the one the Lord has chosen. In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel, but Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of them. And Samuel asked, is this all the sons you have? Jesse said, there's still one more, the youngest. He's out in the fields. He's watching the sheep. He's watching the goats. Send for him at once, Samuel said. We're all not going to sit down and eat until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes, and the Lord said, this is the one. Anoint him. So David stood there among his brothers. Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought. He anointed David with the oil, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. From that day on, then Samuel returned to Ramah. David's father, Jesse, didn't even bring him in from the field because he didn't think there was any chance that it could be David. Why did God choose David? The prophet Samuel answered this when he said to King Saul in 1 Samuel 13, he said, now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. The Living Bible says it like this, but your dynasty must end, for the Lord wants a man who will obey him. And he has discovered the man he wants, and he has already appointed him as king of his people, for you have not obeyed the Lord's command. God wanted someone who would obey him. God wanted someone who would do what he said. In Acts 13, verse 22, it says, God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. God is looking for a man and a woman who will say, here am I, no matter what the cost, no matter what the consequence, I will do everything that you want me to do. That's who God's looking for, family. What kind of person does God use? What qualifications is God looking for? Is it a towering intellect? Is it natural leadership ability? Could God use someone who is shy? Do you have to be talented? Do you have to be beautiful? Do you have to be handsome? The answer is no. In fact, sometimes it seems God goes out of his way to choose the most unexpected people to use. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, brothers and sisters, consider who you were when God called you to salvation. Not many of you were wise scholars by human standards. It says, nor were many of you in positions of power. Not many of you were considered the elite when you answered God's call. But God shows those whom the world considers foolish to shame those who think they are wise. And God chose the puny and the powerless to shame the high and the mighty. He chose the lowly, the laughable in the world's eyes, nobodies, so that he would shame the somebodies. For he chose what is regarded as insignificant in order to supersede what is regarded as prominent, so that there would be no place for prideful boasting in God's presence. God chooses foolish things. The Message Bible says it like this: take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you, not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? God, he chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. None of us can boast and brag, because God chooses the foolish things that he gets all the glory. Amen. Are you following me? Amen. God uses available people. I was a foolish thing that God called and God chose. So was my pastor, Pastor Theo. Pastor Theo used to be a surfer in Durban. He said his greatest goal in life was to have a suntan in wintertime. That was his greatest ambition, was to be tanned in the wintertime. Let me tell you, there's not a person that has less promise to achieve anything in this life than me. I didn't even finish high school. God is not looking for ability as much as he is looking for availability. And the question is, are you available for God to use? When God called me to the ministry to preach for him, I was 18 years old. I think sometimes it's probably better in when God calls you when you're young and dumb, before your excuses start to pile up. You know what I'm saying? Lift your hand, say, I'm available, Lord. Wave your hand, say, God, if you're looking for someone to bless, if you're looking for someone to help, if you're looking for someone to lift, God, if you want to speak, I'm available. If you're looking for someone to use, say, Lord, I'm available. Here am I. That's what God is looking for, family. I remember when Pastor Theo first asked me to be a youth leader at Christian Family Church. I was 16 years old. I was shy in those days. I didn't know how to be a leader, but you know what I said? I'm available. When he asked me to preach at the youth service the first time, I was 18. I never spoken in front of a crowd of people. My knees were having fellowship like this. I said, yes, I'm available. When he asked me to be a deacon, an usher in the church, I said, yes, I'm available. When he asked me to run a small group, I said, yes, I'm available. When he asked me to teach in Bible college, I was so nervous standing up in front of people. I was 19 years old. They didn't have a Bible school curriculum. He asked me to teach on faith and the book of James. I had to create my own notes, my own study. But I said, yes, here am I. I'm available. Ask your neighbor, does God have your yes? Will you say, here I am, Lord? Let me tell you another person who said, here I am, and that was Samuel. We saw it last Sunday in 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. And one night, Eli, who was almost blind, had gone to bed, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. And suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel! Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He got up, he ran to Eli. He said, here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli. I said, go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. And again, Samuel got up. He went to Eli. He said, here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son. Eli, go back to bed. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time. And once more, Samuel got up and he went to Eli. He said, here I am. Did you call me? Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he says, Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls you, because Samuel's about 8 years old at the time, if someone calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Do you know what Lord means? Do you know when you say, speak, Lord, do you know what you're saying? He's the boss, and we obey him. He's in charge, and we follow him. That's why Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord when you won't obey me? Why do you call me Lord when you won't obey me? Our answer should always be yes, Lord. How many of you would say Jesus is my Lord? How many of you would say yes, I've made Jesus Lord? Wave your hand if you made Jesus Lord. That means if Jesus is Lord, that means you obey him. That means you follow him. Amen. If he is Lord, then you love your wife. If he is Lord, then you respect your husband. If he is Lord, then you disciple your children. If he is Lord, then you obey your parents. If he is Lord, then you stay sexually pure until you marry. If he is Lord, you forgive people who have offended you. If he is Lord, you are loving and patient and kind. If he is Lord, you help serve and build the church of Jesus. If he is Lord, you tithe and give whatever God tells you. If he is Lord, you share the gospel and you're discipling other people. If he is Lord, that's what you'll be doing. Say amen, somebody. Amen. The fourth person who said, here I am, in the New Testament was a man named Ananias. In Acts 9, verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias! And what did he say? Here I am, Lord. Ready, focused on you, willing to follow you, obey you, no matter what the cost, no matter what the consequence, here I am. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to a street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him so that he may receive his sight. Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he's got authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. He's throwing people in prison. He's murdering Christians. But the Lord said, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before kings, Gentiles, and the children of Israel. Ananias obeyed, and he went and he prayed for Saul, who became Paul, and he received his sight. Are we sometimes afraid to tell others about Jesus or even invite them to church? Here's my question. Will you be his messenger? Isaiah 6, verse 8, I heard the Lord asking, who shall I send? Who shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Lord, send me. Here I am. Lord, send me. Will you be his messenger? Are you available to be used by God? Because let me tell you, God has an amazing plan for your life. Will you follow his plan? Part of God's plan is for you to be his messenger. Part of God's plan for you is for you to tell other people about Jesus. You know, when my daughter Courtney was 20 years old, she put a tattoo on her arm. It said, here I am, send me. God took her up on it. Shortly after that, she felt God telling her, she felt the Lord leading her to go to Los Angeles for one semester. She just finished her first year of college. She wanted to do one semester as an intern at a church in Los Angeles. Turned out it wasn't just one semester, but God has used Courtney. My youngest daughter Courtney has influenced celebrities for Jesus. She kept herself pure until marriage. She felt God telling her to marry a man named Sam Lopez. They just became the lead pastors of Hillsong, California, Sam and Courtney. Let me tell you, there's no telling what God can do when you say, here I am, Lord. I'm not saying all of you will be called to ministry, but can I tell you, every one of you, God has a ministry for you. It may not be full-time ministry, but God has a ministry for you. God has a work for you to do in this earth to influence people and impact people for him. He has something for every single one of you. Will you say, Lord, here I am. I'm available. Use me. Because let me tell you, nobody can cancel what God has called. When God called you, he knew exactly what he was getting. He knew all your flaws. We live in a culture today that's called a cancel culture. If people don't like you, people don't agree with you, they want to cancel you. But let me tell you, God accepted you unconditionally. What sin, what shame, what mistake can ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Let me tell you, they didn't create you. They didn't call you. They didn't choose you. They can't cancel you. If God called you, if God is for you, He's more than all the world that is against you when God is on your side. The question is, are you available to God? Will you follow Him? Will you obey Him? I'm telling you, how many of you say, yes, Lord, here I am. Yes, Lord, I'm available. I declare that God's going to use you greatly. I declare that God's going to open doors that nobody can shut. You are going to bring many people to Jesus. There's no telling what God can do with your life. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, give the Lord praise today. I want my good friend Mike Francine is going to come up. I asked him just a few minutes. I want him to tell you what God can do in your life, what God did in his life, because he made himself available when he was in college, his first year of college. He was playing basketball. He was on a scholarship playing basketball, and he got saved. He gave his life to Jesus, and 6 weeks later, he was out preaching the gospel. I want you to tell God's done amazing things through Mike Francine's life, and I want you to come and share with us, come on, Mike, what God can do when you make yourself available to him. Amen.
Good stuff, Pastor Steve. Wow. I think he's going to be a preacher when he grows up. You know, I love being tall. Because you know why? The devil's afraid of tall people. You say, what about those of us that are short? Well, Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. Lo, I'm with you always. So we're all covered. You know, I was never raised in a Christian home. Sports was my God. Played football, basketball, track, tennis, golf, everything you could play. And I was playing my first year of college basketball up in Minnesota. And after that first season, I accepted Christ. And that first week, somebody gave me one of T.L. Osborne's books called Soul Winning Out Where the Sinners Are. And I opened the book, and inside there, I saw these pictures of these mass crusades. And God called me to go to the nations of the world. Now, I was raised on a farm, Bradford, Minnesota, population 97. The extent of my international travels before I got saved, living in Bradford, Minnesota, I went to Wisconsin twice and South Dakota twice. And that was the extent of my international journeys. And so now I get this book. And I failed speech class because I couldn't stand in front of 18 people and talk for 2 minutes on basketball. After 1 minute, I couldn't breathe. I had to sit down. I'm not preaching. I'm telling you the truth. And so I received that call. I dropped out of school. I started preaching 6 weeks later. Short time after that, I moved to England. And I was speaking in churches and prisons, and I was there for a year. I got back. I started working with a small church up in Minnesota. I was a missions director. Didn't have any missions, but I was a director of it. And I just made myself available. Now, I didn't know how to get from where I was. I was making $25 a week, living in the basement of the boiler room of the church. I didn't know how to get from where I was to the place that God wanted me to be, but I was available to do everything that I could possibly find to do. I volunteered everything you could volunteer. I was an usher. I went and picked people up for church. I started street teams. We took door-to-door evangelism. I started teaching a class on evangelism. I did everything that I knew to do to help the church. I did the vacuum the floors and took out the trash. Being available isn't always standing up in the pulpit. And being available isn't only standing before the multitudes. Sometimes it means coming to a sin church and spending all day covered in sawdust, sweating and building a platform for the TV cameras. Listen, we become too big to serve people, you become too big to serve God. And it doesn't matter how big you've got, you know, where's the humility? And I don't understand these servants. Everybody says, oh, I'm trying to protect the anointing. Listen, if your anointing is that fragile, you don't have much of one. I'm sorry, it's just me. But I didn't know how to get from where I was to the place that God wanted me to be. But I was available to put my hand to do everything I could possibly do. And I don't worry about making mistakes. God's big enough to honor your wisdom and your mistakes. I'd rather err on the side of trying to do something for God than err on the side of sit back and waiting on God. Become available in everything. Don't ever let the where you are become the who you are. Man, that was good, Brother Mike. Well, thank you, my friend.
Don't ever let where you are right now become the who you are, because who you are is created for greatness. Who, God's getting ready to take you into the promised land. I don't want to continue to feast on yesterday's manna, not when he says he's going to give me the whole promised land to take part of. And so I'm working for this church up in Minnesota. It's about 150 people, doing everything I knew to do. I didn't know how to get from making $25 a week to the nations of the world. And then one day, I got a letter from a pastor in another church up in St. Paul, Minnesota. Didn't know him, don't know he got my name. The letter said this. There was a man by the name of Archbishop Bensonita Hosa coming from Benin City, Nigeria, to spend 2 weeks speaking up in the Minneapolis area. They said, would you go and pick him up, take him out to eat, bring him to the meetings? And so I did. 15 minutes after I met him the first day, he said, son, I want you to come and spend 3 months with me in my home in Benin City, Nigeria. I said, I want you there in 6 weeks. He said, you get your airplane ticket, and then you'll stay with me as a guest in my home. Now, I wasn't great at math, Pastor Steve, but I knew if I saved my $25 a week for 6 weeks, it was not going to equal the $1,600 plane ticket I had to have to get to Nigeria. Some of you got your calculators out looking. I didn't know how to get from where I was to the place that God had called me to be. And then the last day of the meeting, he said, son, stand up. There's probably 800, 1,000 people there. He said, this is my son in the ministry. And he's going to come and stay with me for 3 months in my home. He said he's very well in his body, but very sick in his finances. And he turned to the pastor on the stage and he said, and you're buying his airplane ticket. And he did. 6 weeks later, I found myself, Bensonita Hosa is the first person to ever believe in me. An African man. I've been to 18 African. I've been to 103 countries, but I've been to 18 African countries. Many of those multiple times. I love Africa so much. I just tell everybody I'm African American. And all of a sudden, 6 weeks later, I found myself. And that's where I met Teal and Daisy Osborne, who became very close friends and mentors. This was back in the 80s. And I saw the multitudes. I was there. That's where I met Kenneth Copeland. That's where I met Jerry Savelle. That's where I met so many of the great men and women of God that have become very close friends. Rick Shelton, who's Joyce Meyer's pastor. Joyce became a very huge supporter of our ministry. Probably gave us $12 million over the year. But it was from that first time I went to Nigeria. I didn't know, Pastor Joe, I didn't know how to get from where I was, the basement of the boiler room of the church, making $25 a week, to the nations of the world. You may not know how to get to the place that God has called you, but don't worry. If somebody's going to send somebody from Africa to get you to, oh, come on, somebody get happy here today. Don't ever let the where you are become the who you are, because God wants to take you from glory to glory. And I don't want to feast on yesterday's manna, not when he's got an entire banquet table ready for me to partake of. What you've got to do is make yourself available. To do everything. When you're too big to serve people, you're too big to serve God. And so I made myself, and now I look back over the years. So you've got to understand this. Your purpose predates your conception. Jeremiah 1:5. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, he called you. He anointed you. Before you were even conceived, God had already placed a purpose in your life. Discover your purpose. Discover your destiny. Find out who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. But how are you going to get? When you get involved with God's business, he's going to get involved with yours. Maybe you're not called to the ministry. Maybe you're called to be a businessman. You get involved with God's business and watch him get involved with yours. You get involved with whatever he wants you to do, whether how big or how small it is, and God is going to get involved with you. There's so many opportunities here in the church. I was talking with my good friend Tony. He said, Mike, I feel like I want to start a men's group. I talked to Pastor Steve and Jill. They said, yes, we've got to do it. There's other ideas that you have. Come to Pastor. Volunteer to come and clean the church. You know where Pastor Steve was yesterday? When Mark and I were building that platform, he was painting these walls. He was vacuuming the floor. I got pictures to prove it. I sent them to Jill, and she said, oh, my God, I'm going to use these forever. What are we talking about, Pastor? Great message. Down to earth, real. And so after I was there, just in closing, my first closing, my record's 29. Just in closing, after I was there with Ida Hosa for those three months, I said, Papa, I said, why after 15 minutes of meeting me, did you ask me to come and stay with you? And he said, I know what God told me about your life, and you had to learn how to do big crusades. I said, what am I supposed to do now? I saw his crusades, 50, 75, 100,000 people. And I said, what am I supposed to do now? He said, son, go thou and do likewise. I got back in December, January. I booked a ticket to go to the Philippines to do my first crusade. Had $120 in my pocket. That's where I began. And now today we've been to 103 countries. Been to India 29 times. I've done almost 400 international crusades. We've seen 13 million come to the Lord, but my goal is 100 million. I've written 29 books. Pastor Steve talks about the foolish things. Pastor Steve talks about those. And next to foolish in the dictionary is a picture of me. I failed speech class. I went to Wisconsin twice before I got on an airplane. Make yourself available to be and to do everything that he has called you to do. Now I've written 29 books. I've got four more coming out by the end of the year. My books are in 16 languages. I've given away over 3 million of my books. Pastor, one day I'm going to write one someone actually will buy. I've given away 94 vehicles to pastors around the world. We've got something called the Well of Life Project. We go into a village, we drill a well, put a hand pump on it, and then build a church, a block church with a tile roof right next to it. So every day when they come to get their water, they remember God loves them in a tangible way. Then we do a three-day dedication. I provided funds to build 627 of those around the world. My goal is 1,000. 627 churches I provided funds for. I've had almost $50 million come through my ministry. I started out making $25 a week. I had no idea how to get where God had called me, where I wanted to be. I had no idea. You don't have to know, but maybe God's going to send you a letter from somebody in Africa today. Don't ever let the where you are become the who you are. And you say amen here today. Pastor, listen, get involved with everything that you can possibly think of. And then God's going to take you to the place that he wants you to be. Great stuff, Pastor.
Come on, look at this. I tell you what, from the first service where we've ever, we were in some of Rodney Howe Brown's meetings years ago, and I couldn't have it. Mike would get up and show this stuff where my heart wasn't just pulled to the mission field. And it happens even now. As soon as he begins to speak, God has a heart for people. He has a heart for people. And he's looking. We're his body, family. We're his mouthpiece. We are it. You know, Moses is dead. Abraham's dead. Paul's gone. David's gone. We are them for today. Amen? Praise God. I just want to tell you, we had Mike bring a whole lot of one of his books, Dream Big. It's your latest book that's been published. It's phenomenal. Get it when you go out. He doesn't have that many with him. Just buy them all. You will not regret it. You'll read it this afternoon, I'm telling you. And did you put some pictures in there? Always pictures, he said. Pastor Steve, T.L. Osborne told him, don't ever write a book without putting pictures in it. Got some pictures to show, amen? Well, that message ministered to me. How about you? Praise God. Praise God. Firstly, God's available to us. And secondly, we've got to be available to him. Right now, family, we're going to have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And I love what both of these men were saying is that God is building his church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's building his church. In fact, you know, the only thing that God is building right now is the church. That's what God is building. And if we want to be available and we want to get in on what God's doing, it better be about the church. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, we are God's fellow workers. And when we are faithful to tithe and to give offerings, we are making ourselves available and actively building God's kingdom. If we're not faithful, it means we're probably not available. And so the first thing we need to consider is God can use us if we are faithful. Faithful is a big thing in the kingdom of God, available and faithful.
You know, some people dream of winning the lottery. Well, when I make it big, and if this happens, and if I get that deal, then I'm going to give a huge offering into the kingdom of God and make a big difference. But let me tell you, honestly, when each one is faithful to tithe on what they make that week, that's what makes a difference in the kingdom of God. That's how God builds it. It's like when you decide to save $100 a week. You're like, I really want to save thousands, but I can't afford to, so I'm going to save $100 a week. You turn around and it's thousands, right? And this is what God wants. He wants faithful people to actively be available to give and to tithe. And that's what builds his kingdom. Amen. So thank you for being so faithful. Thank you for giving. And God's available. God's blessing is attached to what you give. The Bible says when you tithe, the windows of heaven are open above you. Let me tell you, you're never going to outgive God. You'll never outgive God. We're building the church together. Amen. The Bible actually says at the end of time, Jesus will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will make you ruler over much. Don't worry about if it's little. Just be faithful. Be available. What I have, Lord, is available to you. Amen. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for each family, every man, woman, child, everybody represented here. Father, you know their hearts, you know their lives, you know their finances, you know their needs, you know what's up ahead of them. Father God, you Evangelist Mike Francine said, their purpose predates their birth, that you have a purpose and a plan for them. I thank you for leading them in that purpose and plan for their life. We pray for open doors of opportunity. We pray for deals and contracts. And Father God, bless your people. Thank you for your windows of heaven open above them. Thank you for always supplying our every need. Thank you that you are the leader and the source of everything needed in the church. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Those that are watching online, yes. You can go ahead, just click give online. It's as simple as that.
Yes, we so appreciate your faithful giving. All those who give online, we so appreciate your faithful giving. You know, you're really not available to God until your money is available to God. Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. It really is an indication. You know, you heard the saying, put your money where your mouth is. There's a lot of truth to that. Your giving, where you invest your money, tells me where your heart is. And I don't know about you, but I'm available. My money is available. Everything I have, Lord, it's yours. Do you feel the same way? Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you to respond to what God is saying, because the Lord is speaking to you in your heart. I want to encourage you to become available, serve in God's house. Come and talk to Miguel here. He's the team leader on our media team. So I want to help. We had people join the media team, didn't know anything about it. We're training them. By the time you finish, you'll know so much about media and computers and cameras, and you might even end up getting a new job, a new career. It's happened before. If you'd like to become available, serve in the children's church or serve on our ushers team, our greeters team, but come and see me, come and see Miguel, say, I'm available. What can I do? Everybody should be doing something in the kingdom of God. You should be doing something, serving in the house of God. Can you say amen? I want to mention that I've had a number of men have asked me over the last while about having a men's ministry, and it's something that's really been on my heart. And we're going to be having a mighty men's gathering, a breakfast for the mighty men. Where's that? Did you get that picture, anybody back there? You get my mighty men picture that I emailed to you? Miguel, do you have it? You don't have it. I did send it to you. We are having a mighty men's breakfast. I went and created this whole image on my computer. It's on Saturday, the 29th of November, right here at 9 a.m. We're going to serve breakfast to you. We've got some guys here that know how to cook. We're going to have crepes and pancakes and eggs and bacon, all kinds. It's going to be a full-on breakfast. I'm going to speak to you. Mike's going to speak to you. I'm calling the mighty men. Is there any mighty men in this house that will come and join us on Saturday the 29th of November, Mighty Men's Meeting, 9 a.m. 28th, Saturday the 28th. Saturday the 28th of November is the Mighty Men. I want to encourage you also, please, when you go out today, take some of these invite cards. They're on the counter in the lobby. Take some with you. Invite somebody to come to church. I believe we're going to see this place filled up soon. And we're going to go to two services. And we're going to see that filled up, and we're going to go to three services. And we're going to see that filled up, and we're going to go to four services. You agree with that? Amen. Mike just wanted to mention something. Stand up with in fact, remain seated for a moment. Something else I've got to do before we close. Mike, go ahead.
People have been asking how much the books are. They're on the table in the back there. There's 16 pages of full-color pictures. I wrote every word in every one of my books. They weren't ghostwritten by anyone else. I believe it. I've proven it. And we usually sell these for $15. I'm going to run a special today because I know that you're going to want to buy one for a friend. So here's a special today. You get one for $15 or two for $45. Now, that special is today and today only. Don't call me tomorrow asking for the discount. And listen, if you go back and all you've got is a $100 bill, don't ask for change because Jesus drove out the money changers. All right, can I read something real quick out of here? Man, that was good. Oh, you want to know what it says? You got to go buy the book. I'll be in the back if anybody wants me to sign them.
Bow your head for a moment. Bow your head if you would. Father, we thank you that you are always available to help us, Lord. No matter what, we can call upon you, knowing that you will answer us. Lord, today we say, here am I. I'm available to you. Before we dismiss today, while your eyes are closed, while your head is bowed, I just want to right now pray. I want to pray for anyone here this morning. If you say, Pastor Steve, I'm really not sure where I stand with the Lord. I'm not sure if everything is right, if everything is well between me and God. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God, but I'm not absolutely certain. Let me tell you, the good news is you can be certain. You can know that you know. You can be sure. You can walk out of here today. You can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. Every mistake, every sin you ever committed is washed away. And you can know for certain that heaven is where you will spend all of eternity. Heaven is a real place. There's a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and God today. Pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that is you, if you want to be included in this prayer, won't you just quickly lift your hand up high? Just raise your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. Do you see anybody's hands? Anybody? No? All righty. Praise the Lord. Stand up with us today. Tell your neighbor one more time. Say, I'm available. I am available, Lord. We are available. Here I am. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday, everybody.